The Vatican, through the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, decreed, actually happened before on the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter, but released today to the public that same-sex unions and gay marriages cannot receive a blessing from the Catholic Church, cannot receive a blessing from Catholic priests. This is surprising to many because there was a somewhat unclear statement in a documentary called Francesco, in which Pope Francis speaks in favor of civil recognition, civil union. There's debate on the Spanish. There's a lot of people, including James Martin, who's an advocate for all these things, who says, and we'll go through his comments on this recent statement, that the Pope is in favor of the civil, but there cannot be any blessings for homosexual gay unions or marriages, a definitive statement. So we'll go through the background this, especially with the German bishops. This was being pushed heavily by the German bishops with a lot of money behind it. And we see the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith reaffirming the teaching of Pope Ben XVI, reaffirming the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and of course reaffirming the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, and the historic Christian teaching, the Catholic teaching, which is in conformity with natural law. So big news today, big news, surprising to many. I got to admit, I'm a little surprised as well. But Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Before we begin, let's pray. We'll pray the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer in Latin, and then we'll get right into it. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, like I mentioned in the intro, the German bishops, if you don't know, were largely behind the Second Vatican Council in the spirit of Vatican II, changing, moving away from Catholic tradition. And in the last several years, the Conference of German Bishops, which gets all of its money through the German government. Here's how it works in Germany. When you fill out your tax form, there's a place on your tax form that asks you your religious affiliation. So I would check Catholic. That means a portion of my taxes automatically go to the Catholic Church in Germany. So people don't, I guess you can always put money in the basket or in an alms box, but people give to the church by means of the German state. What does this mean? It means the German state is rolling in cash. It's cream. Cash rules everything around me. They have so much money, and with money comes influence. They have been saying, we are following the synodal path. Cardinal Richard Marx has been pushing for gradualism. Okay, well, we're not going to have gay weddings per se, but we are going to start, get everybody comfortable with some blessings. We'll have two men, two women come up to the front of the church. There'll be a Bible reading or something, and then a blessing on their union, their partnership, their wedding, whatever they call it. And then after a while, people will be used to this, and then we'll just say, okay, well, let's just do a wedding. It's kind of like women's ordination. They say, okay, well, let's have women read the scripture lessons in church. Okay, let's have women administer Holy Communion to everyone in church. Okay, let's have female altar boys. Let's have altar girls. Let's let females into offices in the church which have jurisdiction over other lay people. And you do that, you start doing that in the 70s is what they did, and then they added the altar girls under John Paul II, and you move forward, and then pretty soon you have this enormous culture in the Catholic Church, like, well, if they can be an altar girl, why can't they be a priest? If they can hand out communion, why can't they confect the Eucharist on the altar? Gradualism, gradualism, gradualism. They've been doing this to us, frogs in the pot, since the 1960s. And the Germans are smart. They know they can't do that. So what they're going to do is they're going to say, well, we just want the blessings. You know, anyone can get a blessing. So let's just do a blessing on gay couples. So they sent a dubium. We've talked about the dubia fathers, Cardinal Burke, Cardinal Brandmuller, and the other two who've gone to their ward. May they rest in peace. Anytime there's a doubtful matter or a question, you send a dubium. Now, dubium is singular, dubia is plural. To, if it's doctrinal, to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which used to be called the Holy Office or the Inquisition. You send that to Rome. They study it. They come up with an answer. And then with papal approval, they give their answer. And I'm going to put on the screen here. Actually, it's already there. I copied and pasted this from the Vatican website. All right, it's the responsum of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith to a dubium regarding the blessing of unions of person of the same sex. To the question proposed, does the Church have the power to give the blessing to the unions of persons of the same sex? Question mark. Response, negative. That's a no. And then an explanation, which we're going to go through in just a moment here, was issued explaining why this answer was given, which is good, because some people who aren't well catechized, haven't read sacred scripture, they're like, well, that's not fair. You can't get a blessing. I mean, the Book of Blessings has blessings for all kinds of things, automobiles, you can get your pet blessed, you can have guns blessed. You can get, I mean, almost anything can get a blessing. So why can't you just bless these two people who are in this relationship? That was the argument of Germany. Okay, so let's look at what the Vatican said in response in their detailed explanation, which was given approval by Pope Francis. And let me just say here, everybody, good job, Pope Francis. You heard it here on the Taylor Marshall podcast. Good job, Pope Francis. See, it's not 24/7 negativity around here. When good things happen, we say good job. When bad things happen, we say, do we say I hate you? Do we say you're going to hell? No, what do we say? This is bad. We need to pray more. We need to pray more rosaries. Let's pray an Ave Maria. Let's fast. Let's dedicate our Lent to it. That's the modus operandi. All right, so the document, I'm not going to put it on the screen because it's, I don't know, 8 or 9 paragraphs, and I don't think you'll be able to see it all that well on the screen. But before I begin, I want to actually read the end of the statement, the end of the explanation, and this comes from Cardinal Ladaria. He's a Jesuit prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith. It says at the very end, the Sovereign Pontiff Francis, at the audience granted to the undersigned secretary of this congregation, was informed and gave his assent to the publication of the above-mentioned responsum ad dubium with the annexed explanatory note, Rome, from the offices of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, February 22nd, Feast of the Chair of St. Peter. So this came out, this was done February 2nd. It was released today, March 15th, 2021. What does the explanation say? Let's take a look. The very beginning, it says, in some ecclesial context, plans and proposals for blessings of unions of person of the same sex are being advanced. Such projects are not infrequently motivated by a sincere desire to welcome and accompany homosexual persons to whom are proposed paths of growth in faith, so that those who manifest a homosexual orientation can receive the assistance they need to understand and fully carry out God's will in their lives. End quote. Beautiful. I love it. I'm signing off on that. Check. Great. Very clear and compassionate. And let me say, I think it's interesting this comes out right as Milo Yiannopoulos had his big statement that he said he's trying to live, quote, sodomy free. I think that's the quote. I saw it on LifeSite News. It's very encouraging. You see, we sometimes think that addiction, whether it's pornography, gambling, alcohol, drugs, sex, homosexuals, heterosexual, whatever it is, it's so big, God couldn't possibly help this person. So we just need to make concession after concession after concession, instead of always holding the bar so high and praying for grace. So far, the statement's on point with that. The second paragraph says, on such paths, listening to the word of God, prayer, participation in ecclesial liturgical actions, and the exercise of charity can play an important role in sustaining the commitment to read one's own history and to adhere with freedom and responsibility to one's baptismal call, because God loves every person and the church does the same, rejecting all unjust discrimination. Okay? Fair enough. Fair enough so far. Now here is where we get into a little bit of theology. This Vatican document from the Congregation of Doctrine of the Faith then says, among the liturgical actions of the church are sacramentals. The sacramentals have a singular importance. These are sacred signs that resemble the sacraments. They signify effects, particularly of a spiritual kind, which are obtained through the church's intercession. By them, men are disposed to receive the chief effect of the sacraments. The various occasions of life are sanctified. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church specifies, quote, sacramentals do not confer the grace of the Holy Spirit in the way that the sacraments do, but by the church's prayer, they prepare us to receive grace and dispose us to cooperate with us. So, when a baby is baptized, the baby ex opere operato receives the baptismal character, is born again, receives the habit of sanctifying grace, and receives the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. The baby is justified. If they use the right form, they use water, and the person has the intention, it always works ex opere operato. Same thing with the Eucharist. If the priest intends and there's real wheat bread and grape wine and he says the proper words, this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood, etc., there's more to it, the bread transubstantiates into the body of Christ, the wine transubstantiates into the blood of Christ. It happens every time. The priest could be a mortal sinner. It still happens. Ex opere operato. The sacramentals don't work that way, folks. The sacramentals are not ex opere operato. They depend on the faith of the church and the faith of the recipient. So let's say, for example, a priest blesses my St. Joseph medal. That's good. It is blessed. But that medal doesn't ex opere operato do something to me. It requires my faith to be a blessing to me. Does that make sense? Same thing with holy water. Putting holy water on someone, even if they're possessed, could hurt them, isn't necessarily going to exorcise the demon. Or walking into a church and blessing yourself with holy water, if you just do it mindlessly, without a prayer, without saying in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, as you do it, nothing happens. You see, you have to bring your love for God and your faith into the sacramental. So that's the difference between a sacrament into Sacramento. And sacramentals include holy salt, holy water, blessed crucifixes, blessed rosaries, blessed candles, icons, blessings of a priest. All these things are the sacramentals of the church. They're very important and we need them. But we have to receive them with faith and ideally in a state of grace. So, that being said, the document goes on and says, consequently, in order to conform with the nature of sacramentals, when a blessing is invoked on particular human relationships, in addition to the right intention of those who participate, it is necessary that what is blessed be objectively and positively ordered to receive and express grace, according to the designs of God inscribed in creation and fully revealed by Christ our Lord. Therefore, only those realities which are in themselves ordered to serve those ends are congruent with the essence of the blessing imparted by the church, end quote. So, for example, when a blessing is given, the thing receiving the blessing must be congruent and ordered to God's plan and will. So you could not bring a statue of Satan or Baphomet to a priest and say, I would like you to bless this. An idol to Satan is not congruent to God's plan. It's not according to the teaching of the church. The priest can't give a blessing to a statue of Baphomet or Satan, or really any idol, any pagan idol. He can bless a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary or Padre Pio or our Lord Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, but he can't bless something that's sinful. That makes sense, doesn't it? Now, once we understand that, we move on to the next part, which regards to the blessings of persons in relationships. Furthermore, since blessings on persons in relationships with the sacrament, sorry, furthermore, since blessings on persons are in relationship with the sacraments, the blessing of homosexual unions cannot be considered licit. This is because they would constitute a certain imitation or analog of the nuptial blessing invoked on the man and woman united in the sacrament of matrimony. While in fact, there are, quote, absolutely no grounds for considering homosexual unions to be in any way similar or even remotely analogous to God's plan for the marriage and the family. Now, that's a pretty good quote. Where does that quote come from? You might say, well, that comes from Pius X. No, it comes from Francis in his apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia. Let me give you the quote again. There's absolutely no grounds for considering homosexual unions to be in any way similar or even remotely analogous to God's plan for marriage and the family. Strong words here. You can't even say that it's a remote analogy to sacramental marriage. Document also says, for this reason, it is not licit to impart blessings on relationships or partnerships, even stable, that involve sexual activity outside marriage. That is, outside the indissoluble union of a man and a woman open in itself to the transmission of life, as is the case of unions between persons of the same sex. Between the persons of the same sex. The presence in such relationships of positive elements, which are in themselves to be valued and appreciated, cannot justify these relationships and render them legitimate objects of ecclesial blessing, since the positive elements exist within the context of a union not ordered to the Creator's plan, end quote. So, the document is saying there can be positive elements in a same-sex relationship. Now, this might be a place where people start to say, now what's going on here? So I think we can use our powers of reason here or maybe come up with some examples. Let's say, for example, two homosexual men. One of their parents is really, really ill, and for work or some other reason, the son can't tend to the parents. The other person goes and takes care of that other person's parents. We would say that that is a positive and a good thing to take care of another person, and it was somehow related to their relationship. One person is ill and the other person gets the medicine and takes care of them. That is good. It could happen within the context of this relationship. I think it's interesting here, by the way, that even though it recognizes what it calls positive elements in a same-sex relationship that are to be valued and appreciated, it can, quote, it cannot justify these relationships and render them legitimate objects of ecclesial blessing. And this is good. Just like we, you know, I could look at a Hindu or a Buddhist or an atheist, and I can say, wow, that was really good how during the ice storm they took care of that elderly neighbor who had no power. What a good thing. And I could say, good job. You know, I really appreciate you did a really good job. You know, or if, you know, one of your kids gets separated at an amusement park or a park, and let's say, you know, a Taoist finds your child and works for an hour to reunite you with your child. That's a good thing, and we should be happy about that. But that doesn't therefore mean that all, whatever religion we're talking about here, Taoists or Buddhism or Hindu, that religion is now true and that we should recognize it as equal to Catholicism. Does that make sense? And I like that the document does say that there can be positive elements, but, quote, cannot justify these relationships and render them legitimate objects of an ecclesial blessing. Okay? Thus so far. Just a little bit left here. Hang with me. I actually think this explanation is helpful, and that's why I want to spend time on it. It says, the declaration of unlawfulness of blessings of unions between persons of the same sex is not therefore and not intended to be a form of unjust discrimination, but rather a reminder of the truth of the liturgical rite and the very nature of the sacramentals as the church understands them. So here they want to get ahead of the debate and say we are not doing unjust discrimination, because the secular governments of this world are eventually going to come after Catholics and bishops and priests and say you are practicing a form of unjust discrimination. And they're saying, no, it's not that. We have to be faithful to the nature of sacramentals. We can only bless things that are congruent and oriented towards God's plan. Good? Then it goes on to explain, the Christian community and its pastors are called to welcome with respect and sensitivity persons with homosexual inclinations and will know how to find the most appropriate ways consistent with church teaching, it says, consistent with church teaching, to proclaim to them the gospel in its fullness. At the same time, they should recognize the genuine nearness of the church, which prays for them, accompanies them, and shares their journey of Christian faith, and receive the teachings with sincere openness. That's right. If someone has been involved in human sexuality outside the confines of sacramental marriage, true marriage, the gospel should be proclaimed to them. The teaching of the church should be upheld. It's a call to repentance. It's a call to chastity. It's a call to purity. It's a call to become a saint. Then the next section says, the answer to the proposed dubium does not preclude the blessing given to individual persons with homosexual inclinations who manifest the will to live in fidelity to the revealed plans of God as proposed by church teaching. So a homosexual who is disposed to living according to the church teaching on homosexuality may receive a blessing, and I would say should receive a blessing from a Catholic priest. Anytime I'm with a Catholic priest, not just in passing, but a conversation, a coffee, a lunch, at the end I say, Father, may I please have your blessing? I get on one knee and he gives me a blessing. That's great. But when you introduce it into a relationship that is not in conformity with Catholic teaching, for example, I introduce with a priest, like, oh, this is my buddy, John. We rob banks on the weekend. Can you bless our gang association here? The priest cannot bless that. You see the distinction? Good. Then it says, at the same time, the church recalls God himself never ceases to bless each of his pilgrim children in this world because for him, quote, we are more important to God than all the sins we can commit, end quote. But he does not and cannot bless sin. He blesses sinful man so that he may recognize that he is part of his plan of love and allow himself to be changed by him. Notice it says changed by him. He, in fact, takes us as we are, but never leaves us as we are. And this, my friends, that's end quote. This, my friends, is the distinction between Protestantism and Catholicism. This is one of the reasons why I left Protestantism and I became a Catholic, because Martin Luther, who in a way is the originator of all that is Protestant, said that we are justified by faith alone, that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. It is an alien and external righteousness. To further this point, Martin Luther used the analogy of a turd, poo-poo, a turd covered under white snow. According to Luther, the analogy is we sinners are the turd, and the white snow is the righteousness of God. That is salvation for Martin Luther. That is the justification by faith alone. The Catholic teaching is this quote that I just read to you. God takes us as we are, sinful, disgusting, dirty, but he never leaves us as we are. He's not content to take us as a stinky turd and put snow over us so that we don't look like a turd and we don't smell like a turd, to use Luther's crass analogy. He, if we wanted to use Luther's analogy, wants to take the sinful, disgusting turd and turn it into pure gold. He wants to take a sinner into a saint. That is Catholicism. That is why we have fasting. That is why we have penance. That is why we have Lent. That is why we believe in purgatory. Because if you die and you're only halfway conformed to the image of Christ, after you're dead, you need to be conformed to Jesus Christ. How does that happen? You have to be purified. You have to let go of attachments, let go of sin. That purification process we call purgatory. And it goes all the way to the church fathers and the Jews before the coming of Christ, prayed for the dead. See 2 Maccabees. God takes us as we are, but never leaves us as we are. There are people who have struggled with homosexuality in their past. We know many of them. And God accepted them as they are. They came to God in humility and said, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, I'm a sinner. Receive me. And God, by the power of the Holy Ghost and his grace, begins to transform and change these people. Last statement on this, it says, for the above-mentioned reasons, the church does not have and cannot have the power to bless unions of persons of the same sex in the sense intended above. The end. Now, this document is so important because this closes the door forever on not just blessings for homosexual unions, but for marriages of homosexual unions. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We have to pray. We have to speak. We have to talk. We have to correct. And let's talk about praying the rosary here. Pray the rosary every day you're not on team. What if people praying a million rosaries brought about a new splash of grace into the church just now? And what would happen in the church if all of us, all the Catholics, we started praying 15 decades a day of the rosary? What would happen? Would the church be different, or would the church be changed for the better? I hope you know that the church would be changed for the better. So when people say, man, the church is really messed up, what do? They get kind of disappointed when I say, you need to read the Bible and you need to pray the rosary every day and you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Like, wow, that's just, I don't know, it sounds kind of Protestant. And I kind of wanted you to tell me, like, we needed to make a petition and send it to the Cardinal so-and-so. And you notice I don't ever do petitions. The answer to our problem is spiritual. We don't battle, St. Paul says, against flesh and blood. We battle against the demonic principalities and dominions of Satan's kingdom. Every time you pray a rosary, one of the devil's plans is destroyed. It's like the devils were putting a landmine under a family or under your family, and you or whoever praying the rosary, all of a sudden that landmine's a dud, doesn't work. Or the demons are building a tank to take out this part of the church or this diocese or this priest. People start praying and they fast. They don't eat till 3 o'clock. They don't eat meat on Fridays. They fast for the love of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, that tank they're building, it no longer works. Their plan to attack that priest or attack that diocese or attack that monastery, gone. And what happened in the 1960s when they took away fasting, took away meatless Fridays, made Lent softer and softer and softer? The enemy came in and started taking us out. We must live authentic Christian lives. I asked Father Ripperger, hey, how come I'm reading the church fathers, I'm reading St. John Climacus, I'm reading Gregory the Great, all over monks who aren't even priests, and women who aren't priests. There's demoniacs, people possessed by devils, and they make one sign of the cross in one prayer, and the devil is driven out. I was like, and you are using the ritual of the church and these exorcists who are holy and good and fasting, and it takes 6 months, 9 months, a year to drive out a devil. What is going on? And Father Ripperger said, back then, people were fasting. The church herself had power because the people were fasting. They were keeping hard Lents. The monks were really praying the whole Psalter every week. They were skipping meals. They were suffering for Jesus Christ. They went out into the deserts of Egypt. And all of that faith and love for God translated into power against the demons. Why is the demonic winning in Europe? Winning in America, it's because we have dropped our weapons and we've run away. All those grandmas in the 1910s, in the 20s, in the 30s, praying their rosaries. We need not just the grandmas, we need everybody. The teenagers, the college students, the young adults, the moms and the dads, the kids, and the grandpa and grandma. We need to pick up the battering rams and pray. This is a great moment today. This is a great moment of clarity. Thank you to Cardinal Ladaria. Thank you to Pope Francis for putting this out. This is a strong statement. Now, other battles are civil unions and all that, which the church has traditionally been opposed. I think Pope Francis, based on the translation, is not right there. He's not in conformity with his predecessors. But that was a documentary. This is a statement from the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. It's higher. It's better. So let's have hope. Let's have faith and charity. Let's make, when you get out of bed in the morning, get on your knees and pray the morning offering. Pray the Our Father. Pray three Hail Marys for holy purity. Maybe start praying the little office of the Blessed Virgin Mary. At noon, say the Angelus. Pray the rosary with your family. Read the Bible. On Patreon, I'm giving you these documents where you can listen to the Bible, Dewey Rheims translation, while you drive, while you work out. You know, let's decrease Amazon Prime, Netflix, movies, Twitter, Facebook. Let's decrease all that by 60%. And let's increase reading the Bible, reading the saints, the church fathers. Let's increase that by 60%. Will things get better? Will your life get better? Will you become closer to God? Yes. Do you want that? Yes, you do. Do it. Do it. And who knows? Far away over in Rome, buckets of grace might start dumping onto the Vatican. Maybe we'll see saints emerge inside the walls of the Vatican. That's what we want. All right. Let us pray the Hail Mary in Latin. Oremus, nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Friends, if you like this channel, please hit the thumbs up, the like button. And also, I would say, leave me a comment. I've been reading the comments more, and they're very encouraging. I like your comments. So under this video, leave a comment. The most important thing you can do for me is share the video. You know, social media doesn't like conservative voices, doesn't like Catholic male voices. So if you would, please do the sharing for me. The algorithm isn't going to help me. It's only going to hurt me. So please share this video and other videos I do in this channel on Facebook, Twitter, Gab, Parler, whatever you use. You hit the share button and share it. And then if you're new, please subscribe. Underneath this video is a subscribe button. And you can also subscribe in the bottom right corner. Hit the bell and you'll be notified. And if you already are subscribed and you're on a phone, go into your notifications and turn YouTube notification, click on. Otherwise, subscribing does nothing for you. So please do turn that notification on. As I said already, pray the rosary every single day. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not on the team. And yes, you did ask for the shirts, and the shirts are now here. Here's me wearing the new shirt. Pray the rosary every day, or you're not on the team. It's the same little picture there. If you want to get one, go on to the community here or go on my Instagram and you can find them there. We have all different colors. My kids are wearing them. They love them. We have pink and any color, dozens and dozens of colors, stickers and everything. So check that out. And then also for scripture and church fathers, you can join over at Patreon. I'll also send you, mail you signed books at certain levels, patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. Read scripture every day. I already said all that stuff. You heard me. I'm not going to repeat it. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless. Godspeed. Thank you, Congregation for Doctrine of Faith.